Well, my mom is a hero to me. She worked hard to make sure I always had everything I needed. And when I was a child, I needed a lot. I was sick all the time and was diagnosed with severe allergies and asthma. So my mom did what she had to do to take care of me. And for her, that meant dusting the baseboards, vacuuming all the time, even giving me allergy shots. Now, to understand what a sacrifice this was that my mom gave me allergy shots, you have to know that my mom is terrified of needles. And so the first time that she gave me allergy shots in the doctor's office, she had been practicing on an orange, and when she gave me the shot, she gave it to me, she put down the needle, and she passed out. She's here this morning, and I warned her that I was going to tell that story. And when she came to, she told me that I said, "Good job, Mommy." And the doctor asked her, "Are you going to do that every time?" She said, "Maybe," but she got better at it, and she overcame her fear so that she could give me what I needed. And she gave me allergy shots every day until I outgrew them. So when I was a child, my mom and my grandmother also took me to the Medical College of Augusta every single year, faithfully driving me, sometimes multiple times a year, to go to the doctor there to make sure that I could be well. And then when my asthma came back in college, my mom worked hard to find a doctor who could help me. And as I told the first service, I think there's probably still a few doctors in Macon who are a little miffed with my mother, because she worked hard to make sure she could find somebody who helped me. Well, I am sure that you have stories about your parents too. Stories of love and devotion, stories of times when your parents were there for you and helped you, stories of how they raised you and the things they taught you. Our parents are the people who take care of us. They are the ones we cry out to in the middle of the night when we have a bad dream. They are the ones who, from the moment we are born, teach us how to live. They teach us what we need to know. They love us and they support us. They are there for us. They encourage us. They nurture us. And our parents teach us important lessons, even as infants. So as infants, our parents help us learn how to trust. They build a bond through consistency, love, and nurturing. That bond is one of the most important things that we will ever learn because it lays the foundation for everything that comes later. Learning how to trust is so important to learn because it helps us in all of our relationships as we grow, and it even helps build the foundation to be able to trust in God later on as we grow up and we learn who God is. Trusting the ones that we can see eventually helps us trust in the God that we can't see. Well, during the French War, a train carrying dispatches to headquarters was forced to travel 60 miles of very rough track, and it had to be there in an hour. And the engineer of the train had the dispatches, and his family, his wife and child, were among the passengers on the train. And the train had to go so fast that it rolled from side to side, leaping at times almost in the air, rushing past stations. And the few people inside held their breath and often cried out with terror as they sped along. But there was one person on that train who wasn't afraid. In fact, she was happy. She was the child of the engineer. And she laughed when someone asked her why she wasn't afraid. And she said, "Why? My father is at the engine." And a little while later, the engineer came into the car to check on his family. And his daughter leapt into his arms and laid her head down, as happy and peaceful as she was at home. She trusted her father and knew that he wouldn't let her down, that everything was going to be okay because he was at the wheel. Trusting our parents as children helps us trust in the loving Father we cannot see. Well, we trust our parents to take care of us, We trust them to feed us and to keep us safe. And in verses 9 and 10 in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake?" Now, this is more than just Jesus admonishing parents not to play practical jokes on their children. And I am sure that there's somebody in this room that at some point on April Fool's has played a practical joke on their child that involved food. And hopefully that joke went over very well for you. But there's much more to these verses than that. Bread and fish were staples of the Galilean diet. And that makes sense because most of the people were fishermen there. They made their living by fishing. So, of course, everybody was eating fish. Well, in my research for this sermon, I discovered that there was a striking resemblance between the flat cakes of bread they ate and Palestinian stones. There was also a strong resemblance between the eel-like fish they ate and snakes. Now, we're not going to talk about how that bread tasted, if it looked like a stone, but as you can see, substituting a stone for bread and a snake for a fish would have been a very cruel and dangerous joke to play. And good human Galilean fathers and mothers who cared about their children would have never responded to their child's request for food with a stone or a snake. In the same way, we would never respond to a child's request for food and care with a cruel and dangerous joke. Children trust their parents to take care of them, and good parents would never deny those requests for care and nurture. In fact, there are times when our parents sacrifice for us so that we can receive the care and nurture we need. A teacher asked a boy this question. Suppose your mother baked a pie and there were 7 people in your family, your parents and 5 children. What part of the pie would you get? "A sixth," replied the boy. "I'm afraid you don't know your fractions," said the teacher. "Remember, there are 7 of you." "Yes, teacher," said the boy, "but you don't know my mother." Mother would say she didn't want any pie. Each of us probably has a story about how a parent sacrificed for us, how they refused a piece of pie so that everyone could have more, how they didn't get something new so that we could have the new shoes we needed, or even how they went without so that we could have what we needed. And most parents know how to give good gifts to their children, and they do what they must to care for and nurture their children, to provide for them so that they don't have to go without. Now, there are times when circumstances are really tough, but parents provide for their children as much as they can. And in the same way, our heavenly parent also doesn't deny our requests for care and nurture. God has promised to love us unconditionally, no matter what happens, and we can trust God's love. Well, we know, of course, that there are some parents who not only refuse to sacrifice for their children, but who don't nurture and care for them in the way that they should. There are some parents who do give stones instead of bread to their children, who give snakes instead of fish. There are parents who bully their children, who abuse them, and who cause pain every single day. And for those children, it can be extremely difficult to trust God as their heavenly parent, to believe that God is the giver of good gifts when their own parents have not given good gifts to them. It can be difficult to trust God when you discovered at a young age that you could not trust your parents to care for you. So if you had parents who did not give good gifts, who did not give you the care and nurture you needed, parents who you couldn't trust, know that your heavenly parent is faithful even when earthly parents are not. And your heavenly parent wants to give you good gifts and loves you no matter what. He cares for you. He is always there for you, and he knows what is best. And you can trust that he will never leave you, even if he feels far away. Well, many of us have always trusted that our parents want what's best for us. And as Jesus reminds us in Matthew, every single one of us can trust that God wants what's best for us as well. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" We can trust that God is the giver of good gifts. But as one commentator said, God is not a Walmart. Just because we ask God for something, it doesn't mean we get it. Just because we ask our parents for something, it doesn't mean that we will get it, as I'm sure all of the children in this room can attest to. There are times when our parents say no to things because they know they aren't good for us. There are times when our parents say no to things because there are more important things that we need. There are times that they say no because they just can't give that to us at that time. But we know, even if we get angry that we don't get that gift, we know that our parents want what's best for us. And if they could give it to us, they would. God is the same way. There are times when God says no. God isn't a genie, and prayer is so much more than a shopping list directed to heaven. Instead, prayer is a quest and an expectation. It's about relationship and conversation with God. We seek God when we pray. We talk to God when we pray. And we expect God to answer us when we pray, just as we expect a friend to answer us when we talk to them, or our parents to talk to us and we talk back. Because conversation is not one-sided. It goes both ways. When we talk to somebody else, they talk back to us. And we can expect God to answer us as well. Jesus reminds us that God always answers us. But just like with our parents, God doesn't always answer us in the way we want him to. Sometimes God says yes, but sometimes God tells us to wait. Sometimes God says not right now. And sometimes God says no. And there are times when we want something desperately and our heart breaks when we don't get it. When we want a loved one to be healed. When we want our children not to be bullied at school. When we ask for healing for a child with a terrible illness. When we cry out for a broken relationship with a parent or a child to be mended. There are times when God, who knows so much more than we ever possibly could, says no. And in those times of heartbreak, we cry out to God. We desperately seek answers. We struggle with God to try to find a reason why this is happening to our family. We struggle with God when our children fail, when a bully continues to harm our child, when our children just can't seem to get ahead, when our children are ostracized and made fun of. There are times when we come before the Lord weeping and wailing, wanting desperately for things to change for our child, for our family, even for ourselves. And when it doesn't happen, when it seems as if nothing changes, it can be difficult to believe that God wants good things for us. It can be difficult to trust God when we pray desperately and something doesn't happen. And unfortunately, there are no easy answers as to why that happens. There are times that we have to trust God even when we don't understand, when every fiber of our being cries out in anger that our prayers are unanswered. Trusting in God, like trusting in our parents, means that we don't always understand or even agree with what's happening. But it also means that we trust that God is good and that God knows what's best. And when we trust God in times of doubt, when we trust in times when it seems like God has turned his back on us, our faith grows stronger. And God reminds us that we are his children, even when we don't understand why things are happening. And maybe, hopefully, one day we will understand. But even if we don't, we have to trust God in faith. believing that He wants what is best for us. Instead of looking at prayer as a list of things that we want, we should look at prayer as a relationship, a loving relationship between parent and child. We won't always get what we want, but we will get what we need. And we will know, we can trust that we are loved. Well, as parents, our role is to care for our children. God calls us to nurture them as infants, to take care of their needs, and to give them consistency so that they learn to trust. And as young children, God calls us to teach them to listen to and attempt to answer all the why questions, and there's a lot of them, to embrace their needs and to keep them safe while also balancing their attempt at independence, aka all of the I can do it. And then as elementary age children, God calls us to engage with them, to continue showing and teaching them the love that God has for them, to take care of their needs, and to help them know that they are loved. As middle schoolers, God calls us to affirm our children, to show them that we see them, and to continue to take care of their needs. And then as high schoolers, God calls us to help them see their potential and to be encouragers as they prepare to become more independent. And then as children move to college and out on their own, God calls us to still journey with them, to listen to and care for them, and to be their friend. Because as parents, you know that your role of caring for your children never stops, although it begins to look different as children grow up. Well, as the role of the parent changes, so too does the role of the child. We move from infants who rely completely on our parents to a preschooler who seeks independence. We move from a child who sees the world in black and white to one who understands that there are gray areas in life. We grow more independent until eventually the cycle begins again with a new generation. The same is true for all of us as children of God. The way that we relate to God changes as we grow. Our view of God changes as we move from a concrete thinking child to having the ability to think abstractly. Our view changes as we learn to embrace the mystery of God and to rely more on Him. We begin to see the ways in which God parents us when He embraces us and shows us unconditional love, and when He places helpers in our lives to see us through. We also see the ways in which God says no. And we start to learn that many times God's no really was for our own good. And like with any parent, we sometimes struggle with God. We struggle to understand why God wants us to wait or why God tells us no. We struggle when it seems like God is far from us. And there are times when that relationship with God may even feel fractured or broken. There are times when we get angry with God. Even though in this chapter of Matthew, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." That's not always our experience. There are times when we ask persistently, day after day, and still we don't receive. There are times when it feels as if we are banging on the doors of heaven, and the doors remain closed. And in those times, we must remember that we are God's children. In this relationship between parent and child, we are the child. We are not in control. And while that can be frustrating, it can also be freeing. It's freeing that when we trust that God knows more than we do and that our heavenly parent knows what's best for us. It's freeing when we understand that we aren't in control of this world or even our small piece of it. And it is freeing when we know that we don't have the weight of the world on our shoulders, even when we try to take it upon ourselves. And when we remember that we are God's children, the God of the universe who created us and redeemed us, who created everything around us and still decided that the world needed us. When we remember that, we have a freedom like nothing else and that nothing can take away. Well, the role of the parent, be it earthly parent or heavenly parent, is to care for their children. And as children, our role is to learn from our parents and to honor them, to trust that our parents have our best interest at heart. We are called to respect them. And as children of God, all of us are called to honor God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, like we heard earlier. And we are also called to listen. So as children of our parents, we know that we should listen to them. And we know that there are consequences when we don't. You get in trouble when you don't listen to your parents, whether you are 5 or 35 or 65. Sometimes you still get in trouble when you don't listen to your parents. And many times, as Rose and the children talked about, our parents give us rules to keep us safe. So not only do we get in trouble when we don't listen, but we may also get really hurt when we don't listen. They give us these rules to keep us safe, and there are consequences when we don't follow them. And the same can be true with God. No, God's not going to send us to our rooms or ground us. But there are times when we get in trouble when we don't listen to God. There are always consequences for our actions. And when we ignore God and do something that isn't good for us, there are consequences. As children of our parents, we love them. We love our family and we listen to them and help them when they need it. And as children of God, we are also called to love. So if you have siblings, you know that there are times when your brother or your sister irritate you, when they frustrate you, and you don't really like them all that much. But deep down, you still love them. And as children of God, we look all around us and we see other children of God. We see our siblings. They may not be related to us by blood, but they are also children of God. And that makes them our brothers and sisters. And sure, there are those who irritate us, who frustrate us, and who maybe we don't like very much. But we are called to love them because they too are created by God. As parents, we are called to love and support our children, to care for them and to nurture them and to share God's love with them. And as children of our parents and of the Lord, we are called to trust. To trust our parents and to trust our heavenly parent. We are called to listen and we are called to love. As we read earlier, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." This charge from Deuteronomy is our charge as parents and children. So parents, teach your children about their heavenly parent. And for all of us, as children of God, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to love you with everything we have. Lord, we confess that there are times when we forget how very much you love us, and we turn away from your love, seeking the instant nature of things of this world. When we turn away, may we remember your love May we remember your love that calls to us and that you never stop searching for us. Help us to listen to you. Help us to share your love with others. Help us to find ways to teach them what you ask of us. Thank you for being our heavenly parent. Help us to always seek you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.